This is the Banner of Truth broadcast, a program sponsored by the Free Reformed Churches of North America. Your speaker is Pastor Hans Overdoon. In this broadcast, I invite you to think with me about the burial of the Lord Jesus after he died on the cross, and the good news for us also with Jesus' burial. Every detail about Jesus and his saving work is something to glory in for the believer. Yes, including the details about Jesus' burial. The Bible tells us that Jesus' burial happened all very quickly. Jesus was on the cross from 9 a.m. till about 3 p.m. It was at around 3 o'clock on a Friday afternoon that he breathed his last and died. And guess what? By 6 o'clock that same afternoon, Jesus was buried and the funeral service was over. Do you know what the reason was for the rush? Well, the next day was the Jewish Sabbath day, and a special Sabbath at that, related to the Passover feast. So the Jews wanted to make sure that there would be no dead or live bodies left hanging on the Roman crosses of crucifixion, especially not also just outside of Jerusalem, the city of David, the city where God also had built his temple. In Deuteronomy 21, verse 23, God had said that when someone is hanging on a tree, that represents being cursed, and the Israelites were to make sure that no one would be left hanging overnight on a tree or cross, for then the whole land would be defiled. And the Jews would not work on the Sabbath, so Jesus' burial had to take place in less than 3 hours after he died, for their Sabbath began at 6 p.m. How did it all take place, though, Jesus' funeral? Usually for those who were crucified, if they would be buried, they were thrown in some common grave together, with little ceremony and no respect at all, and that was it. What would happen to Jesus' body? Well, listen to the beautiful and true story about what took place, as told to us in John 19, verse 38 to 42. Maybe later you can read those verses. John 19, 38 to 42. In these verses we are introduced to a follower of Jesus, who was a wealthy man and a member of the Jewish Sanhedrin, Joseph of Arimathea. Because of fear of man, he had not been an open follower of Jesus. But now this Joseph became bold. We are told that he asked for the body of Jesus to bury that body, and Pilate permitted him to do so. Nicodemus, another leading and wealthy Jew, also became more bold as professed follower of Jesus, perhaps seeing Joseph's courage, and joined with Joseph in the burial service of Jesus. The Bible doesn't give us a lot of details about the burial, but all the details it gives are full of significance. We don't know exactly how Jesus was taken down from the cross, nor who removed those nails that had gone right through Jesus' hands and feet into the wood of the cross on which he had been crucified. But consider what we do know. We know Joseph brought fine and clean linen, just newly bought, and they used it to wrap up and around Jesus' body. We are told that Nicodemus had brought along special spices and perfumes, so much that it measured in weight to about 75 pounds as we know it today. They mixed those spices and perfumes between the sheets, and then when they were all done, they placed Jesus in a new tomb that Joseph had made for himself someday. This special grave, never used yet, as emphasized in the Gospels, was in the middle of a garden that Joseph owned, and it was close to the place where Jesus was crucified. In this new tomb, Jesus' body was placed, and when the job was done, the two men, Joseph and Nicodemus, rolled a heavy cut stone in front of the grave, completely covering over and closing in the opening of the tomb. When this was all done, the Sabbath was at hand, which for the Jews began at 6 p.m., and the funeral was over, yes, in less than 3 hours after Jesus' death. Ah, can you imagine Jesus dead in the tomb, his body totally limp and lifeless in the grave? How inexpressibly sad and hopeless the disciples were with Jesus' death and burial. But wrongly so, as Jesus' resurrection also would prove 3 days later. Jesus' death, by God's design, was all for a grand gospel purpose, including, yes, also his burial. Consider with me now reasons for glorying also in Jesus' burial. For one, isn't it true how wonderfully Jesus' burial proceedings by itself confirms him as the long-promised Messiah and Savior of sinners. You see, long before, at least 700 years earlier, Isaiah had prophesied about the suffering Savior, that though in his death he would be numbered with the transgressors, yet in his burial he would be honored with the rich. Behold how that exactly happened in God's wonderful providence. Though Jesus died with criminals, yet he wasn't buried quickly in some mass grave with the executed criminals. But instead, Jesus is given a comparatively royal burial. Ah, just Jesus' burial arrangements give enough evidence that Jesus is the Christ. Do you see that with me? Consider, too, all the little details with his burial which add weight to the prophecy of Psalm 16, verse 10, about the Messiah, the Holy One, that he would not see corruption or experience the decay of death. Jesus being laid in new fine linen, interspersed with much spices and perfumes, and being laid in a new tomb wherein never man yet laid, loudly declares Jesus in his death in the grave was kept from degradation and defilement and decay. God was taking care of Jesus' body in the grave, and before corruption could begin its decaying work, Jesus would triumphantly rise from the dead, even as he said he would. It is true what some have said, Jesus' splendid burial is almost like the first step in his exaltation, the way God arranged it all. Every detail of the burial gives just more and more hints and clues. Jesus of Nazareth, crucified, dead and buried, he is the promised Messiah, the Savior of sinners. It is something moving to think about, too, that though Jesus was born in a poor stable of sorts, and crucified and died on a barren, rocky hill as an outcast, yet he was buried in a beautiful garden, and from that tomb in that garden of Joseph of Arimathea, Jesus would rise from the dead. Is it wrong to see in all this a picture of how the Savior, on behalf of sinners, has come into this world of sin and misery to seek and to save sinners, and to bring us out and away from evil, back into the garden, and not just any garden, but his garden, the garden of paradise in glory above? Because of sin, the Garden of Eden became forever closed for us as sinners. Because of Jesus the Savior, the garden of paradise becomes an open garden, which God's people may forever enjoy. Let it be noticed that the book of Genesis tells about man in the Garden of Eden, and the book of Revelation tells about fallen, redeemed man in the eternal garden of glory, in the new heavens and new earth. Jesus, buried in the tomb in the garden of Joseph of Arimathea, all fits in with this glorious theme of Jesus' redeeming work. Do you see that with me? Oh, there are reasons to glory in Jesus' burial, considering not just how the details of Jesus' burial exactly fit the prophecies of the long-promised Messiah, and how the facts of Jesus' burial suggests also the success of his saving work. But notice, too, how by Jesus' burial we are given real confirmation, not just that Jesus died, but that he accomplished all that should be done for the salvation of sinners. Jesus' burial doesn't just prove he died, really, but it proves actually that, spiritually speaking, Jesus died the death we deserve. That is, with Jesus' burial, what is proven and confirmed without a doubt is that Jesus, as a sin-bearer, took upon himself the curse and punishment of sin to the last degree, even entering the grave on sinners' behalf. Christ, shall he be the Savior of sinners, he must die unto the end. This means he too must enter the place of corruption. He must deliver his body to the humiliation of the grave, to the place where the sinner returns to the dust. With Jesus' burial, what is proclaimed to us is that Jesus is the Savior of sinners, from the womb to the tomb. In other words, he is the complete, total Savior for sinners like you and me, covering for sin and bringing about salvation for people like you and me, from the womb to the tomb. Do you want any less a Savior than Jesus, I ask? We need a total Savior, shall we be truly and triumphantly saved from our sins. Oh, and Jesus' burial should proclaim to us, you and me, with Jesus we have such a complete Savior, one who would pay all the wages of sin and grant complete pardon freely and fully through his saving work on sinners' behalf. Do you see this gospel with me, dear listener? It couldn't be better or more complete than God made it to be and has fulfilled in every detail with Jesus. Glorying in Jesus' burial, there's every reason to do so. Yes, especially also because we know, don't we, Jesus did not stay in the grave, but the third day he arose again, exactly as he said he would. We glory in Jesus' burial because Jesus proved triumphant over death too, through his perfect finished work on sinners' behalf. If Jesus always had remained in the grave, if he was still lying dead in the special tomb in the garden of this rich man long ago, we would have no reason to celebrate anything about Jesus, for it would mean that after all, death conquered him, and it would be an indication that he too could not pay the full wages of sin as God demands, and that Satan conquered even the promised Messiah. The gospel, however, clearly tells us otherwise. Jesus, by his righteous death on sinners' behalf, conquered death and has taken away the sting of death for God's people. We glory in Jesus' burial, knowing he rose the third day and the tremendous good news that brings. Jesus' resurrection from the dead makes Jesus' burial in the tomb so precious and powerful, for it proclaims in the sinner's place, Jesus entered the grave that he might mightily, righteously, and forever open the grave for as many as believe on him. Jesus entered the grave with the purpose forever to transform it for God's people, making it not the place of the beginning of everlasting darkness and doom as we deserve left to ourselves, but a passageway, as it were, to everlasting life in glory through his saving work. Oh, do you see with me how death is transformed through Jesus the Savior, who has died the death we deserve, even entering the grave with the express purpose wonderfully to change it all for good, even for all who trust and obey him. In a symbolic way, this transforming power of Jesus over death and the grave comes through in Jesus being buried with all those spices and perfumes, and then leaving them all in the grave when he arose. Jesus' empty tomb left no smell of decay and death, but only the sweet fragrance from what amounted to 75 pounds weight of perfumes and spices. Think of the fragrance of the spices and perfumes mixing with the smell of the flowers of the garden with that open tomb, and you get a picture of the transformation of death accomplished by Jesus, the Savior of sinners. All these things were done as they were, you can be sure, to give us all the more reason to glory in Jesus, yes, even in his burial as Savior of sinners. Jesus accomplished real and complete deliverance from sin, Satan, death, and hell. And the open grave helps dramatically and emphatically to declare this great salvation, so rich and free, that he has accomplished and that may still be proclaimed for sinners to hear and receive in our times. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dear listener, with Jesus Christ and him crucified, dead and buried, and risen again the third day, with him alone you find complete salvation, rich and free. Surely with this gospel message just about Jesus' burial, you will hear the call to repent of sin and believe in Jesus Christ the Savior, won't you? Every detail about Jesus' person and work gives reason to trust and obey him and praise him for now and always. Today is a day of salvation. Harden not your heart through the deceitfulness of sin. A mark of true faith is glorying also in Jesus' burial. Do you do so? Amen. The preceding message is available in printed form. If you would like to receive a free copy, write to the Banner of Truth broadcast, 9790 Carlton Street, Chilliwack, B.C., postal code V2P6E3. You can also contact us on the website www.frcna.org. Thank you for listening.